everybody. Cal Banyan, Hypnosis, etc. with Celeste Hackett. Here we go again. Podcast number 102. How you doing, Celeste?
Hey, Cal. I'm doing great. I'm ready to focus and not ramble, which I did just a tiny bit of that last time, and really give you the information that you want about working confidently with family members. And, Cal, should I just hit the ground running here? Do you have some updates on your end?
Oh, let me make a couple announcements. Hey, everybody, if you're watching this anywhere except calbanyan.com, go there now, because underneath is all the links and all the information that we talk about and resources and stuff like that. Also, visit my other website at hypnosis.org, hypnosis.org. That's just about everything about hypnosis there. And if you're a hypnotherapist and like to get a free listing on our directory, check it out. You can get it. Also, hypnosiscenter.com, and that is a list of all my courses that are going on. And our hypnospace is about to have a grand opening, a re-grand opening, if there's such a thing. Check it out, ourhypnospace.com. And that's it. Celeste's website, what is it, Celeste?
FamilyFirstHypnosis.com.
All right, good. Take it off where we left off. Kind of give them a summary of what we covered so far.
Okay.
And then hit the ground running.
All right, so the podcast this time is about working with your family members. And one of the reasons why I wanted to come up with this is because so many of us, you know, get into hypnosis to try to help a family member or help ourselves. Often we want to help the wife, the husband, the kids, and stuff like that. Well, I got an opportunity to work very closely with a niece who came to live with me. I give a little background in the last podcast, which is 101. You definitely want to watch that one before watching this one, because it will give you the information that you need to really understand and the person that I've been working with. My niece has cerebral palsy, and she had a lot of issues like skin picking and had bathroom accidents when she came to live here and that sort of thing. And so in the last podcast, I talked about all the things that we were working on with her, which were those things, plus talking and thinking about celebrities. And we also worked on her being truthful and her anger, resentment, sadness, fears, and the comings and goings of those. And also we worked on her to take initiative and take care of herself and doing her daily duties like showering and making her bed and stuff like that, because she really wasn't doing any of that. She was just kind of sitting waiting to be told. She'd do it if you told her, but she wouldn't do it on her own. So these were these were more or less the goals that we had working with my niece. And the reason why I'm talking about my niece is because, you know, this will kind of give you an idea of what you can do with your family member. Because some of the things I did, you may want to try. And I think that, you know, we had very good results. So the last episode we talked about the things that you can do. One of them is create an accepting environment where feelings and thoughts are allowed to be expressed and encourage that expression. Once there's a feeling that comes up, be it negative, and I'm talking about negative feelings like anger, sadness, fear, frustration, those kinds of feelings. And also once you encourage the expression, a lot of times doing that causes someone to automatically relax after and gets the feeling physically out of the body, so there's less and less of this. We encouraged her to talk when she was angry, and you could also use EFT, which is emotional freedom technique. You can find out more about that at mofree.com. So that was the first thing that I suggested you do, create that sort of an environment, and then help somebody neutralize or work through their feelings with things like EFT and our direct suggestion and our pillow pounding, which is just putting a pillow on their lap when they get mad, scared, sad, frustrated. Just have them hit the pillow and get the feeling into the pillow. And again, I wasn't really doing any hypnosis with my niece, but I was using hypnotic technique in a waking state whenever there was a problem. Especially when it comes to the emotions coming up. So that's the first thing that you can do. The second thing that we talked about you could do is teach the secret language of feelings and doing 1, 2, 3 with the feelings. For more information on that, you just go to thesecretlanguageoffeelings.com. The third thing I mentioned was be a model for working with your own feelings and encourage discussion about your own feelings. As you work through your feelings and you share the way you feel, it just creates the kind of environment that feelings are allowed and accepted. The fourth thing is create a safe, and this is where we kind of start the new part, create a safe and loving home environment especially if your client family member lives at home with you. If you're antagonistic in any way, and you know you are, just be honest with yourself. And, you know, if you're arguing or there's fighting going on or it's just not a pleasant family atmosphere, then you need to stop that and work on yourself, because all the work in the world is going to be undermined by any, you know, these storms that aren't under control. Cal, do you have anything to add to that?
It all sounds great to me. I have kind of a question. Did you ever do any actual hypnosis with this family member?
No.
Because really, I don't think you're prohibited. I don't recommend against doing direct suggestion, classical hypnotic techniques with family members. The main thing we want to do is stay away from, the insight techniques.
You know, Cal, I'm so busy. And, you know, the last people you want to work with are the ones that live with you, because you're always, I was always doing these other clients. And so by the time to do a formal session with her just seemed like a big thing, a mountain I had to climb. I preferred to work with her kind of sprinkled along through the week whenever the opportunity arose. There was one time when we spent a lot of time waiting for the bus outside talking, and I would just, knowing how to do direct suggestion, I would just more or less sprinkle in direct suggestion into our conversations. There was one time that I did induce her into hypnosis and my plan was to later use this so I could get her into hypnosis instantly if ever, I was planning to actually do hypnosis with her and use direct suggestion. But as it turned out, I really didn't need to, because she just had so many changes without it, and I was so busy and I never had to. Now, I may need to in the future, but I just really didn't need to. And it just speaks volumes that, with young people and kids, environment is so important, and just the way you talk to them is so important. The encouraging and supporting them is so important. And you can still use your hypnotic technique. Hey, they're probably going into hypnosis sometimes anyway. When you talk to a child or a young person or a family member, you have to realize that, the things that you say can impact them. And so that's what I kind of kept in mind. She's very suggestible. She's always been a very suggestible person anyway. So I kind of hoped that, just kind of working with her like I did would work, and it did. It actually did anyway.
Okay, and that's perfectly all right. I just wanted to make sure that the viewers are understanding that we're not recommending against doing kind of classical direct suggestion approaches with family members and friends as much as we do recommending against doing the insight techniques. Good. Continue, please.
Okay, and so the big thing in number four was work on yourself, and so that you can create a loving and calm environment. That can't be overstated. When we work with other people's children, we try to work with a parent so that we can help them to create that environment, because a lot of times children and young people have these too much behaviors because they're distracting from feelings that come from the environment home, such as anxiety. Isn't that true, Cal?
Sounds good to me.
Yeah. So, if a parent's fighting or something like that, or if they are. The fifth thing is listen for clues to the problem from the client and others. Some things really don't require hypnotic technique. Things like you can do a lot with incentive programs and stuff like that. For instance, at one point, we were trying, and I just didn't hypnotize her because I didn't have time, so we were just putting ace bandages on her hand where she was picking her hand and stuff like that. But before we did that, I was, putting Band-Aids on. And once we did the ace bandage thing, it just seemed to work better for a while. It gave more time for her not doing it, for me to start talking to her about forgetting about it, and that worked. Another time, she had bathroom accidents after it had cleared up, and we were trying to figure out what that was. And my mother was a nurse, and she says, she might have a bladder infection, and that was the cause of that. So you got to listen to everybody, and see, there might be some clues in the family. The information always just seemed to be given to us, to me, when I needed it, to be able to do the next thing with her, whatever it was. The next one, which is number six, is make sure you really brush up on your positive suggestion and use it in the waking state when opportunities present themselves. Or, as Cal said, just do sessions. Make sure that you know how to do that. And to get really good at that, you can go back to the Doing Direct Suggestion Right episodes. Cal, do you remember which ones those were?
No, not...
Don't have it on the fly, but if you look back in the archives, you'll find it. You know, you might have an opportunity at the, like at the kitchen table or on the couch before or after a movie. We used to sit out, well, once again, out by the bus stop and talk. And there was just times for me to just, you know, I might have her close her eyes and just listen for a few seconds or a few minutes. Tried to keep things really short so that, you know, it wasn't a big deal. And she has kind of a short attention span. So, you know, that worked very well for us. And I just would say things like, you're going to forget to pick your skin soon, you know, for the skin picking, and it just won't make sense to you anymore. And you got better things to do and that kind of stuff. Now, another thing that I did, and again, you know, I liked working in the waking state with her, but certainly you can do hypnosis with this, with any of the too much behaviors, was high road, low road. And Cal, one time, you know, we were sitting out at the bus stop, and I was really tired of waking her up and making sure she got up, and she would forget to get up in the middle of the night, and she'd have an accident, and we had alarms set for everything, or she would forget to take her shower. And, you know, I'm so busy, it was hard for me to kind of remember her stuff, too. And so I finally just decided to do high road, low road with her as we just sat out and waited for the bus. And I just said, with her eyes open, I said, I want you to imagine that you're standing at the fork in the road of your life. I said, because that's what you are, you know, that's where you are right now. You can make some big changes where you're going to be more independent. You're growing up. You could have your own apartment, all this stuff. And so I took her down the low road first, and I made it look as bad as I possibly could.
Okay, Celeste, can you kind of explain to everybody what you mean by the high road, low road? There's people listening that have no idea at all what you're talking about.
Yes. Cal, do you want to do that? It's, you know, this is so your thing, and I think you do such a good job, and I'm talking so much anyway. You want to explain what it is?
Okay. The high road, low road technique is actually a script that I wrote as a general script that you can use for just about everything. And it's really intended to be used in hypnosis as a direct suggestion script. And what you really do is, and it's available free on hypnosiscenter.com, and I believe it's also on hypnosis.org. And you can go there, and in the articles section, I actually have the script. It's also one of the scripts in my script book that you can get on either one of those sites. Now, but basically, you're going to take someone in hypnosis to what you suggest is the fork of the road, and then on the left is the downhill road, and it's easy, but it takes them to where they don't want to go. And you're going to visit different places on that road and associate the pain that they expect to experience if they continue in that behavior and associate it with the behavior and the people or paraphernalia associated with it. For example, if they're overeating chocolate, we would take them down to three events. It could be 3 months, 1 year, 3 years, for example, where they're out of control to chocolate. And they look at the chocolate and see what it's doing to them, and they begin to associate that negative outcome of that behavior. And then we will then back them up and take them up the high road on the right, and we will go to at least three different events, usually over the same time period, where we have them go having changed the behavior, and we populate that road with the benefits that they expect, as they've reported to us, to experience because they've made that positive change. How is that, Celeste?
You're so good. Yeah, and that's what we did. But for her, you know, we had I wanted her to take initiative on her on a whole list of things. And so first I had her make a list of things that she wanted to accomplish, because what I realized after some introspection was she would not do something, and I would get upset and I would say, "Look what you're doing to me," you know? She didn't know what was in it for her, so I figured high road, low road was the best way to show what was in it for her, because, I mean, people want to care about you and how much of a pain it is for you to change the bed sheets over and over again or whatever, but they don't really get it, and she really didn't. You know what I mean, Cal?
Right, and you know what I like about this is the first ever that I've ever heard of the high road, low road script or approach being used in kind of a waking hypnosis or just imagining kind of way. So that's really cool.
Wait till you hear this. So she had this list of things she needed to do. You know, all the things that I have already told you about. Stop skin picking, go to the bathroom every 2 hours so she wouldn't have an accident. Once she got into bed, she had to get up at midnight and go to the bathroom. For her, she has cerebral palsy. This is a big deal for her to move her body 2 or 3 or 4 hours once she gets into bed to get up and then go to the bathroom and then come back. Take a shower every day. All these things, you know, do her stretching that she has to take, you know, do to be able to walk and not be bedridden. Take her meds on her own. All these things were on her list. And so when I took her down the low road, I told her, you know, basically I showed her what it would be like if she didn't do the things on her list. And I said, and the most important thing is go into the bathroom every 2 hours and not picking your skin. And so I took her to how frustrated, you know, I might get, my husband might get, how, you know, she might end up having to live elsewhere. Worst case, you know, scenario down the road, she might end up in, you know, some sort of care environment where people didn't take care of her and they didn't care about her. And she didn't, all she did was because she didn't exercise, she couldn't move. And so, and then people got frustrated with her because, you know, a lot of times some of these places aren't that good and she didn't have a lot of money. She might not be able to go to a good place. And so I made it look as bad as I possibly could. And she put her hand on my hand and she said, please, Aunt Celeste, I can't go there. I said, you have to.
Well, you know, it's really empowering. Two things I want to add to that is, one, we want to work with what they believe is a likely outcome of continuing with in the problematic behavior. And second, the high road, low road really says, hey, it's up to you. It empowers them. It's like, oh, please, before that, they might be saying, oh, please don't make me go there. And it, but with what you're doing, you're really sending the message of, hey, you're in charge of where your life is going, right?
Right. That's right. So I took her about 10 years down the road and then back to the beginning of the fork in the road. And I said, you know, none of this has happened and it doesn't have to. Just like the script. You know, I actually had the script right in front of me. I went in my office and got it and said, I got a story for you. I took it out, you know, and then I took her up the high road of, you know, she's gained a little weight on her meds, you know, and also, you know, just not caring. And so, you know, you're going to lose a little bit of weight. You're going to be, you know, you're going to feel good about yourself. Your hands are going to look so pretty. You're going to want to buy new rings. You're going to be getting up, getting into the shower. Nobody's going to have to tell you anything because you're so grown up and so mature and independent. And, you know, and who knows, you know, down the road, she also had her own car and she was driving and she had a boyfriend, and further down the road she had her own business and she was taking me out to lunch and telling me, you know, all kinds of things, and just made her so independent and so just the life that she's told me that she wanted. She ended up having kids and everything. She really wants to be a mother. And she started smiling and kind of rocking, you know, in her wheelchair. She's not in a wheelchair, but I got to wheel her out to the bus that's another story, but I have to do that. And so she was really excited and I could see her being really excited. And so then I said, so now you're going to find that you do this and you do that and you do this. Isn't that true? And she nodded her head. And then I said, what's the most important thing on your list? She said, going to the bathroom every 2 hours and getting up at midnight and not picking my skin and all that. Well, I kind of forgot about it, but she didn't. When she came back, she was a totally, after school, totally different person. She walked in the house saying, I got to go to the bathroom, and after that, I got to do my homework, and after that, I got to, you know, make my bed. And I was just looking at her because I almost had forgotten about it. And I mean, it was incredible. It was a complete turnaround, except for the skin picking. We still had that hurdle to cross. And but once everything else was done, it just took a little more time is really all it amounted to, and the skin picking stopped. She hasn't done that in probably 3 months now. Her scars have all healed up. She had that one hand has been, there's been an infection there for at least a year, completely healed. So anyway, high road, low road, amazing. Good job, Cal. What a wonderful script. And yeah, you can use it like that in the waking state. So but yeah, that was something I learned too, you know. Any comments before we move on?
Let's see. Do you have your timer going?
Something happened and I'm looking at it now and it didn't start. So where are we? Do you know?
Okay, we're about 18 minutes in.
Okay.
And I just want to say I looked up the information. You asked about the 10 keys to doing direct suggestion hypnosis right.
Mm-hmm.
And parts 1 through 6 begins with podcast number 60. On CalBanyan.com.
Okay.
Good. Well, I'm really glad to hear that. I'm just going to put out a guess here, and I would suspect, and I don't know if this is true or not, and I don't mean to be disrespectful in any way when I say this, but it seems like people who have disabilities or in such or in other situations where they really depend on other people helping them, like your relationship is with your family member, and that they would naturally be more suggestible than perhaps in other situations. What do you think about that, Celeste?
Well, especially when it comes to something they really want, like independence. You know, you're going to be more open, really tuned into that, really focused in on that idea, because that's really what she's been craving. So I don't know, but sounds good to me. And I will say that she's always been a very suggestible person from a very young age.
Good.
Yeah. The ninth thing is, you know, Cal, I taught her seventh path. And at first she couldn't do 5 minutes. Because she would open her eyes and she'd look at me really scared, and I'd say, "What's wrong?" And she said, "I'm having bad thoughts. bad things are coming up." So I couldn't get her to do 5 minutes, but I could get her to do 1 minute. Now she does 30 minutes.
Wow.
Really proud of her. Really, really proud of her. And we did do, I forgot about this, we did do hypnosis to get her into hypnosis that first time.
Beautiful. Can you tell everybody just maybe how you explained what Seven Path was?
Yeah, God, I'm really doing bad at that. I know, I'm giving out all these things and not explaining. Sorry, guys. Seventh Path is a mind-body-spirit approach to self-hypnosis. And the great thing about it is it works on subconsciously held emotions and things that are connected to problems in their life, I guess you'd say, experiences and bad experiences and stuff. And it kind of clears out the cobwebs so that you can, and it also, that's the one part of it. And the other part, clears out all the negative stuff. And the other part of it is a way to put positive things into your own subconscious mind. And so she could start working on her own stuff. She could start taking herself down the high road whenever she wanted to, which she does. And as she does Seventh Path, when things come up at school, a lot of times things will come up in her Seventh Path with the technique that we use, which, gosh, Kyle, how do you explain this without explaining how to do Seventh Path?
Well, you know, let me ask you something. First of all, let me tell everybody, Seventh Path self-hypnosis is different from every form of hypnosis that ever existed before, because most self-hypnosis is really ego-centered. It's about, I want to have this, or I want to have that, or I want to stop doing this. And Seventh Path really goes in and neutralizes some of the beliefs and emotions that are causing you problems, so that when you do give yourself suggestions for what you want, they're more readily acceptable, they tend to last longer. And a lot of times, before you even get to giving yourself suggestions for what you want, the problems will just clear up, because they're just a outcome of the negative thinking, negative beliefs, and painful emotions you've been carrying inside, such as fear, anger, guilt. And Seventh Path will just automatically neutralize that. I typically will teach this to all of my clients who consider themselves to be spiritual people, because it is a mind-body-spirit approach. Does that help, Celeste?
Yeah, we need to do a whole... Have we ever done a whole podcast on Seventh Path?
I don't think so. Let me ask you something. So now, the suggestions that we give ourselves in Seventh Path are called recognitions. How many recognitions does she have?
She has 5.
Oh, good. So all of the basic recognitions. That's really good.
Yeah. And I'm going to... I know we should be wrapping up, so I'm going to do the rest of this in about 1 minute. The other one is stay calm and act as if you believe this is going to happen and this is going to change. They're watching what you believe, and so stay really matter of fact about them proving. Of course she's going to improve. There's no doubt that she's going to stop this one day, that she's going to be doing this one day, that she's going to be doing that one day. The 11th thing is be patient. Change takes time. Things don't always go in a linear fashion. There can be stops and starts and setbacks. We did have some of that. There may be more in the future. I don't know, but I'm really happy. She's amazingly happy. And we went to a psychiatrist, her new psychiatrist today, and the psychiatrist thinks that she's made great strides and is in agreement with lowering her meds with the goal of getting her off of as many as possible, and things couldn't be better. She's not skin picking. She's not talking about celebrities incessantly anymore. She's still doing all her stuff. She did have one setback where she kind of slowed down and doing stuff for herself, but she just needed to be remotivated. So we just went through the high road, low road again. And her stepdad's complaints about her not being truthful, I just think she was scared. So she's very truthful now, and bad feelings and exhibiting the anger and the resentment and the sadness and the fear, just as when it comes up, which is rare, it's kind of normal for the situation, I guess, when things come up, and she just does 1, 2, 3 with her feelings. I can't remember the last time we even had to do that. She does it on her own. I can't remember the last time I had to put a pillow in her lap. I mean, she's just amazing to me right now. And I bow to the feet of you, Cal Banyan, on behalf of her and on behalf of my family, because the techniques of Seventh Path and High Road, Low Road really, really did the biggest share of it all.
Beautiful. Well, I really appreciate it. And, you know, for me, the reward in this is just hearing stories like that. So you made my day, Celeste.
Yay. All right. Well, that's just about it. I think that's a lot. So I guess we can probably just wrap this up. I'm Celeste Hackett. It's been a pleasure sharing this with you. And if you have any questions, you can always contact me. I like to talk about hypnosis, and I like to talk about my niece and family members. So just go to familyfirsthypnosis.com and check out my website. Call me, email me. See you soon. We'll see you next time, in fact, on Cal Banyan's Hypnosis, etc. See you next time.
All right. This is Cal Banyan signing off. This recording is the property of Cal Banyan and Cal Banyan's Banyan Publishing Incorporated. All rights reserved. For private use only, may not be duplicated without written permission.